When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
We got a lot of traditions on this show. A couple of decades of doing it. I didn't mean to get all sentimental on you in the last segment, but I won't do this forever. I just want you to know how much I appreciate it, that you're here and you're listening. Our next guest, David Fry, is one of our traditions because we bring him on every year in the month of November. Usually we try to line it up with kind of leading into Thanksgiving as he is going to be in his 23rd year as one of the hosts on the National Dog Show on NBC on Thanksgiving Day. His partner on the broadcast, Mr. Peterman, on the Seinfeld episodes, John O'Hurley is his name. They've been together since the beginning of the show, so 23 years. They're going to have about 25 million people watching this dog show. Before we get into any of the dog stuff, though, I want to bring David Fry on. I want to talk about, you know, what it was like to grow up as the son of Jerry Fry, football coach, University of Oregon. How you doing, David Fry?
I'm doing great, John. Thank you. It was great to grow up the son of Jerry Fry, but you know, wandering around in Eugene, Oregon, there were a lot of eyes on me that I could walk through my dad's office the next day and he would say, "What were you doing at the cooler last night?" You know, and always wanted, he always had another set of eyes out there watching on me, but it was great. It was great. It was fun to be a part of all the things that were going on at the University of Oregon Athletic Department. I tell everybody that I went to the University of Oregon for 17 years without graduating, sort of like John Belushi. In that, you know, from the time I was 6 or 7 years old, wandering around in the equipment room, picking up dirty towels and cleaning shoes and things. So it was a great part. And watching Bill Bowerman tear track shoes up and glue them back together. So every time I read something about the University of Oregon, I say, you know, I was there. I can tell you about that stuff.
Yeah, your dad was an assistant for Len Casanova and had been around the program for a while. I think it was about 11 or 12 seasons, and then he becomes the head coach of the program. What do you remember about that transition when Dad gets promoted to head coach?
I remember I was in high school at the time, and it was my senior year in high school. I was just coming off being the captain of the football team that year. And I remember he came home and he said, "I got a little secret to tell everybody in the family before it got anywhere else." And I shook his hand for quite some time because I was very excited about it. I had a lot of friends who had gone through the football program in Oregon, playing for Cavs, playing for my dad as an assistant coach. And I felt like it was just another move for the family that was fun for all of us to be a part of it.
Did the hours seem longer when he was a head coach, or were they just long in general because that's what coaching is?
They were pretty long in general. I know it was tough to find him during the season, especially at night. I think Thursday night was their night off that he could come home and have family time. And, you know, but we were all into that. We all knew what was going on and we all appreciated the hard work that he did all the time. And all of his assistant coaches that had a great staff of assistant coaches, guys that went on to become head coaches in the NFL that, you know, guys like George Seifert and Gunther Cunningham and Norval Turner, and people who went on to have great success. So I think it was fun to see those guys grow through the program too.
Your dad, you know, did not talk about his military service openly with his players. He had flown in combat. He had military service in World War II. You know, he had this gap between his sophomore and junior seasons at Wisconsin that was like 3 or 4 years. And, you know, he didn't talk about it with players, but did he talk with you and the family about World War II and what that was like?
You know, it's the greatest generation, the thing that Tom Brokaw wrote about. These guys just said, you know, we just did what we were told to do. And when I went in the Army, there were a lot of people that said, geez, I'm not going in, or I don't have to do this. I'm going to Canada, or I'm going to resist and not go in. And the thought never crossed my mind. And it took a long time for him to really come out with us and tell us what he had done in the war. He flew 67 missions in the South Pacific. And he said, geez, I just did what I was told. He said, we flew this P-38 out there and took pictures of Japan and with the bombing damage or potential targets. And we feel like we were doing our job, but we never thought of it in terms of being, geez, we're going to help win the war. We just said, you know, you tell me to do it and I'll do it.
The, you know, growing up with a dad as a coach like that, and then also having the military part of it, how much of his military background do you think influenced his coaching and his parenting, or can you separate that ever once you've been through that as a person?
No, I think it was part of everything he did, whether it was parenting or coaching, and he was a great man. He really was, and it's easy for me to say that, of course, but I think his players knew that without it ever being printed in the duck dope, the guidebook, you know, for example. But they knew it and they appreciated him. You know, the football coach has a long hair. He didn't have long hair, but his son did. I had longer hair when I was a freshman, a sophomore in college, his first years of coaching college. And those were the years that he took a lot of grief from some high school coaches around the state for letting his players play with long hair. Mm. And it was just the kind of thing that was unthinkable in today's standards.
Right.
God, if you didn't let guys play with long hair, you wouldn't have much of a team left.
We're talking with David Fry, who is the son of former University of Oregon coach Jerry Fry. Now, let's look at the kids, all right? You go on to become host of the National Dog Show. Your brother, Terry, writes a bunch of books and becomes a sports columnist. Judy goes into teaching. Susan is in ballet, right? And Nancy gets into, like, the legal world and is working at a law firm. Like, what a very diverse group of children that chose a bunch of different things. Like, I gotta think mom played a role, given how busy dad was, in shaping your lives as well.
Mom was a very big part of what we were doing. I always like to tell the story about my mom, who one time found out I was going out with somebody, and I spilled some vodka in my dad's football coach's car one night, and I had came home the next morning. My dad said, go clean my car out. I gotta take my kick to breakfast. And my mom comes to me and says, what'd you spill in your dad's car? I said, oh, geez, mom, I don't know, some 7-Up and maybe a little vodka. She says, vodka? She says, what kind of girls are you going out with? It was not my fault. It was not my fault. It was the girl's fault. And that was
right.
The great story I told back to my mom when she was on her deathbed. And it brought us great closure to be able to talk about that. But, yeah, she was very much a part of it, too. And football coaches' wives have to be, because their football coach is gone a lot. And the football coach's wives worked just as hard with that family as anybody.
What do you remember about the teams that dad was coaching? Because you had guys like Dan Fouts that were in there and part of those teams. And did you see those guys? You know, were you in that circle, or were you like a lot of Oregon fans kind of watching it from the outside?
No, I was in the circle because I was going to the University of Oregon at that time. And my first year there as a freshman was his first year as the head coach. His first year as head coach was the first year that Austin Stadium was open. And so these guys are all guys that I would see once in a while in places where I couldn't tell my dad about it the next day. But, you know, those guys were my contemporaries. And you know, when their hair got long, my hair was long, and that's not the only measure of what we did. But, you know, they were out there, and they were part of the community and part of the team, and very visible and very active in what went on. And when my dad passed, guys like Dan Fouts and Ahmad Rashad and Bobby Newland arranged for memorial services for my dad. That was, you know, 25 years after he had been at Oregon. So it was pretty amazing the impact that he had on these guys. It was the same impact that he had on me and my brother Terry and my sisters, Susan, Judy, and Nancy. And we're all proud of him, and we were thrilled to be a part of the family and part of the University of Oregon football program.
What do you remember of the opening of Autzen Stadium? Were you there for the first game?
I was there for the first game. It was, it looked like a big piece of concrete out there, and it didn't. My God, I've been back and I've seen pictures of it here lately as well. It's unbelievable for a stadium that cost, I don't know what, $2 million to build originally. And the things that are there now and the things that they do, the reputation that it has as a football facility. And it's just unbelievable to me how far it had come. I remember what a big deal it was that he became the head coach, and it was the first, his first game as head coach was the first game played there. And it was, we probably didn't have any idea of how it was going to grow and become such a big deal. It was just a place for us to go to games.
We're talking to David Fry, who will be hosting the National Dog Show on NBC on Thanksgiving, 23rd year doing it. The son of former Oregon football coach Jerry Fry. You and John O'Hurley, Mr. Peterman on Seinfeld. You guys are a good 1-2 punch. You guys have been doing this together for, is this 23 or 22 years? I mean, did you imagine at that first or second year, hey, we're going to do this for forever?
No, we didn't, but we knew it was going to be fun because we fell into a perfect time slot on Thanksgiving Day right after the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. But it was in a time slot, a two-hour time slot that NBC had open because they had walked away from football, from the NFL football, and they were playing It's a Wonderful Life. And they were getting, you know, they were drawing like 800,000, 900,000 people in their audience. We did the dog show. First of all, the senior vice president for NBC Sports, John Miller, watched the movie Dustin Show, and he said, hey, I'm going to do a dog show on Thanksgiving Day. And he went in on Monday morning after he'd seen the show and said to Dick Ebersol, NBC Sports guy, he says, I want to do a dog show in there. And he got laughed out of the office. And eventually he got through the NBC Entertainment people. And we got the dog show, and the first year we did it, we drew 19 million viewers, and that was in 2002. My God, we draw the Ducks. The Ducks had 13 million people watch their game with Ohio State this year, and that doesn't touch what we do with the dog show. We're now up close to 25 million people every year watching the show, and it's unbelievable. I mean, 23 years, first of all, with John, it's lasted longer than some of my wives. But it just is something that is a great, it falls in a great family holiday, and it's a subject that appeals to everybody in the family. We all have dogs, and it becomes something for everybody to target. So I'm going to watch, it's the alma mater factor. If I'm not a Brittany, I'm going to watch the show and root for the Brittany. It's like I root for the Ducks every week. So it's become a great part of what we do on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, you know, for my youngest two daughters, it becomes, which dog are we getting next? You know, and so they kind of watch it and they go, okay, that's the one we want, you know, and I'm like, no, you already have your dog, but we'll file that away.
Have them call me, John. We'll take care of them. And that's part of the deal is educating people to try to find the dog that fits their lifestyle and fits their family the best. And we think we do a lot of that on the telecast.
Now, over the years, like, you know, you did the Westminster show on USA Network, I think, for a number of years as well. And you had, I remember Joe Garagiola. Joe was on that. Joe G was on that. Bud Collins was on that. Mary Carrillo was on that. you really gravitate to this.
Well, you know, they gravitate to me. I mean, I'm the dog guy. These guys come in and they have a dog and they come in and they think this will be fun. And they come in and they have a great time because they're just like everybody else. And as the John Madden of dog shows, as my publicist calls me, I'm the guy that's supposed to answer the questions that they have that are really the same questions that people at home are watching and trying to figure out, what's the deal on that poodle haircut? Dave, tell me the answer to that. And we try to educate our viewers as to what the basis is for things like haircuts and shapes and sizes and colors and eyes and things like that. And we think we do a good job of that, telling that to the TV audience that everything within the show dog world, we're talking about relating form to function. And the dog has to have the right form to do the function it was bred to do. And that's what we're looking at. And that's what the judge looks for.
And the characters that are around the dog show, obviously you mentioned the movie Best in Show. I mean, I like that when I tune in and watch you guys, you are having a good time with it. And you do poke fun at yourselves and you poke fun at the spectacle of the dog show while doing the dog show. So I don't think it's that far removed from the mockumentary Best in Show. I think we lost David Fry on that note. We'll try to get him back. Punch him back up. Is David Fry there? Is he there? Are you there? Okay, we lost you.
We're back.
I thought I offended you with my question. No, it's what I like about it is you guys don't take yourself too seriously either. And you mentioned Best in Show, which is like a mockumentary. So, you know, I like the fact that you guys will have some fun with kind of the characters around the dog show, because if you've ever been to a dog show, it's not that far removed from the truth.
Well, we said that all the time when the movie was coming out in the dog show world. We talked about it. And we were a little concerned because there was some talk that it was going to be about a judge being on the take or something. And when the movie came out, they didn't make fun of the dogs and they didn't make fun of the sport. They only make fun of the people. And we admit to being a pretty target-rich environment in that regard. But it's true of anything. You go to tailgating before a ball game. You see all these people, they're characters that you say, I see this guy over here, or I saw this guy across the lot, and I know who these guys are. And we love our dogs. And that's what it's all about, is the relationship with the dogs. We show them, you know, we dress them up a little bit and take them to dog shows, so to speak. But if we all have dogs and we all love our dogs, a dog walks into the room and the energy changes. And that's what our life is all about with our show dogs and our therapy dogs, the other things that we're involved in, that makes it fun for everybody in the family.
David Fry, I appreciate you. Catch you on NBC on Thanksgiving Day and the National Dog Show.
Noon to 2, every time zone. So thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun. Go Ducks.
You bet, man. Thanks for catching up. There he goes, David Fry. Good stuff. Great background on being a kid of a coach. Get a little flavor there, and you can catch him on NBC on Thanksgiving Day, noon to 2. Leave it here. We're going to talk about the games this weekend coming up, plus the 5 at 5.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.